In exploring the stories of Genesis, I have gotten us to the story of Jacob. I'll remind you who Jacob is. This is not, Joseph, the story of Joseph. This is not Mary and Joseph. This is Old Testament Joseph, Hebrew Bible Joseph, the son of Jacob. Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 sons, and we are told that he was Jacob's favorite son. So Jacob gave Joseph a special coat, either a coat of many colors or a coat with sleeves, depending on how you translate the Hebrew. We learned that Joseph had lots of dreams, and his dreams suggested that he was really better, superior to his brothers. Joseph loved telling his brothers about those dreams. And as you might guess, that didn't go over very well with the brothers. They got tired of his bragging. How many of you have brothers or sisters? Do they brag? We don't like that bad. One day, while out on an errand for their father, the brothers lost patience with Joseph and they threw him into a well. Now, this may have started out as a prank, but it soon turned serious, and the brothers ended up selling their 17-year-old brother Joseph to Ishmaelites in a caravan traveling by. And in turn, these Ishmaelites took Joseph to Egypt, where they sold Joseph to a man named Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's trusted leaders. Now, Potiphar came to like Joseph, to see how smart he was. And over time, Joseph was trusted more and more and given lots of responsibilities. Unfortunately, in the end, Joseph was falsely accused one day of messing with Potiphar's wife. And he ended up in Pharaoh's dungeon. So I suggest you go and read all the story of Joseph, starting with Genesis chapter 37. You can find out how good old Joe gets released from prison and becomes Pharaoh's right-hand man. This happens during a seven-year famine that affects not only Egypt, but Israel as well. And thus, Joseph is able to provide for his father, his miserable brothers, and their entire family. Look at how this happens. Joseph becomes the key to the survival of the people of God, all because his brothers threw him into a well and sold him into slavery when he was 17 years old. It's one of the crazy ways God works sometimes. So here's what I want us to think about. Imagine Joseph in Pharaoh's damp, dark dungeon. He has no idea if or how he will ever get out of that place. We know that God is there with Joseph, and that God will use this horrible situation for not only Joseph, but for all the people of Israel. But Joseph doesn't know that. That closed door, that prison has got to feel like hell to Joseph. So I want today to show you some pictures of some closed doors. Back up. Go back. Perhaps you have had a door in your life that felt like it had slammed shut. How did that feel? Did you feel trapped, like Joseph did, maybe? Did you feel hopeless or afraid, like no one cared about you, not even God? In Andrew Lloyd Webber's very cool production about Joseph called Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, how many of you know that music or have seen that production? Have you ever been in it? No? There's a song in that production about Joseph in the dungeon in Egypt. Listen to these words and look at how Andrew Lloyd Webber describes that experience. Close every door to me. Hide all the world from me. Bar all the windows and shut out the light. Do what you want with me. Hate me and laugh at me. Darken my daytime and torture my night. If my life was important, I would ask if I live or die. But I know the answers lie far from this world. And here's the refrain. Close every door to me. Keep those I love from me. Children of Israel are never alone. For I know I shall find my own peace of mind. For I have been promised a land of my own. Just give me a number instead of my name. Forget all about me and let me decay. I do not matter. I'm only one person. Destroy me completely, then throw me away. If my life were important, I would ask if I live or die. But I know the answers lie far from this world. Close every door to me. Keep those I love from me. Children of Israel are never alone. For we know we shall find our own peace of mind. For we have been promised a land of our own. So I want to walk around the room. And as I go by where you are, if you have a word or two describing a closed door, a dark place in your life or another's life, you might speak it out, and I'll repeat it to the room. The question is, how does a closed door affect us? How does it feel to us? Closed doors.
Abandoned.
It feels abandoned.
Isolated.
Sad. Shut out.
Disconnected.
Excuse me? Parted?
Unloved.
Unloved? Excluded?
No good things coming in.
No good things coming in?
Cast away?
Unwanted?
Unwanted?
I'll bet Joseph felt unwanted in that closed dungeon.
Lonely?
If I go around the other way, I won't see faces. Those frustrated. What are some of those doors? I think of cancer. I think of divorce. I think of not finding a job that works. Death. Grief.
Stress,
neglected,
enslavement,
and we like to think that was in the past, but it isn't. It isn't in the past. Sickness, chronic sickness maybe?
Misunderstood.
Close every door to me. Let me pray a minute for all of us and for all those who are experiencing closed doors and dark places. Lord, you know what we feel and what people like us feel, especially those who may be feeling unwanted or unloved or lonely or grief-stricken, those who face sickness and hurt. May the darkness of life lift somehow so that we can see some light, that we can know, like Joseph, that the people of Israel, that your people are never alone. Amen. Now you can go ahead. A friend of mine posted this the other day, and I liked it. I'll read it to you. Today, I close the door to the past and open the door to the future. Take a deep breath, step on through, and start a new chapter in my life. That friend went on to post this. Six years ago today, I stood before a judge who granted my divorce. I was finally free from the horrible marriage I had been living in for many years. I was able to start a new chapter in my life, a chapter I never thought I was worthy of having. But God has blessed me with family and friends who make me smile every day. So I am grateful. Grateful I was given the chance to close that door of my past and open a new door to the future and a new chapter of my life. So last week one day, because I only work part-time, I took myself to the movies. The AMC theaters, you can buy something called stubs, and then you can get into the movie any time on Tuesday for $5. Just that's a little paid political advertisement there. So I went to see Christopher Robin, not because I especially wanted to see Christopher Robin, but that was the time I had. 2 o'clock worked for what I was going to do. But it's a cool movie. And in the movie, there's a door in the tree. Years before, early years, that door had taken Christopher Robin from his childhood to boarding school, and he had never returned to what we know as the Hundred Acre Wood, where he had created and interacted with Winnie the Pooh and Rabbit and Tigger and Eeyore. So now in this movie, that door brings Christopher Robin from his adult, stress-filled working world back to the hope and freedom of his childhood and his imagination. And it really is funny to see the adult Christopher Robin dressed in a business suit and carrying a briefcase crawling through the door in the tree, way too small for him. He's squeezing his way into the old world. He stops for a moment. Winnie the Pooh's on the other side, and he says, "I'm stuck." Winnie the Pooh says, "Were you eating, honey?" He doesn't fit through that door anymore, and yet he needs the joy and the freedom and the imagination and the trust that he finds on the other side. And we find ourselves crawling with him as he does this. We yearn for him and for all of us to have love and hope and new chances. What's on the other side of the door? So the door in that tree reminded me of the door at the back of the wardrobe in that book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, doesn't it? What do these doors mean for us? A door can be the symbol of a transition from one life to another, from one situation to a different, new, better situation. So I want us to look for a few minutes at some open doors. Let's imagine we're going to go through one of those doors. What's on the other side? What's out there? Let's imagine that we're going to go through one of the doors. going out or going in. And we'll stay there for a few minutes. Let's imagine that we are ready for something new, ready to say yes to the adventure or the challenge God has planned for you or for me, or for all of us as a church. Let's remember that what God has planned may not be sweetness and light. It may be a burden we carry for God's people, like Joseph did. But let's imagine that we are ready for all God has in mind for us to experience out there, beyond the doors. Remember, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you." Jesus is eager to open the doors. God wants us to have the newness of what life can be. So as we come today to the table, let us see the possibilities and let us see the invitation Christ offers us. And let us remember, as Andrew Lloyd Webber's Joseph does, that the people of Israel are never alone, nor are we. We are never alone. Let us pray. Only you can know, O God, what the doors are that stand before us, the closed doors that leave us aching and hurting and lonely and sad, frustrated, yearning. And the doors that may open for us to something new, something important, something that may change us to be what you would have us be. May it be today, Lord, that we see you opening the doors. Amen.